Well, tonight, it's a great joy for me. Brother Alan Lane are very precious missionaries to me, people, period, to me. And I'm very grateful tonight that they're back and able to make it for their daughter's wedding. We'll have our first social distant wedding. There'll just be 10 people here, but there'll be two of them. And I'm also encouraged that I was invited. So, you know, I'll get a chance to be there too. And then, you know, there'll be 7 others. And yet, you know, there are many people that are going to be in heaven because missionaries like Alan Lena went to a foreign land to tell people about Christ. And so I'm excited tonight that we got a chance to see somebody saved here today. And I'm certain there are people being saved in Uganda tonight and the churches that are around. And so I'm very excited to have Brother Alan come and just preach whatever the Lord's laid on his heart tonight. And I think you'll enjoy it tonight. I'm excited to have him. Brother Alan, you come right ahead. Be sure and introduce Elena, if you would. Elena, would you come right up here when he introduces you so people can see you?
All righty. Thank you, Pastor. Good evening, everyone. Glad to see we have a packed house tonight. It's always encouraging. But before I go too far, Elena, she could come up. We just arrived from Uganda. We were on 2 separate flights. Elena came first. I thought I might have to stay behind, actually, in Uganda because things weren't looking so good there initially. But we thank the Lord that I was able to escape and get out of Uganda as well. Less than 2 weeks ago. And so we thank the Lord for safe travel and to be back here. We appreciate all the prayers and support from Temple Baptist Church, Pastor Pittman, and his care for us on the field of Uganda. We appreciate that all very, very much. I'm going to tell you, of course, a little bit about Uganda, what's going on there, the ministries, and but if you have your Bibles, tonight we're going to turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we'll just stay there for a minute. As Pastor said, we're back mainly to attend our daughter's wedding in a couple weeks. But even coming up before that is our son Sean's graduation. He has a graduation from medical school this Saturday. And it's going to be one of those cyber graduations where nobody's there. It's all going to be online. What they did, they took pictures of everyone individually in their cap and gown. And they're just going to show still photos of the whole class, 200-something in the class. And there'll be some speeches. But you know, these are the days we're living in, unfortunately, where we have to do that with, you know, public. You know, he went through 4 years of medical school, a lot of work. And all you get is a still shot online, and that's just the way things are, unfortunately. As Pastor said, our daughter's wedding, the same, very small group. Some family will come down, but obviously not what our daughter intended to have as her wedding. And but we thank the Lord that we're here, that we made it back. And again, thank you all so much. All the members at Temple Baptist Church for praying for us on the field. We appreciate it so much. Before we get to our scripture, a few things. So what's happening in Uganda, in Soroti, where we are? That's it's about north central Uganda. A lot of things going on, just as here in March, I think it was March 21st, the president of Uganda closed all the schools. He closed all the church services, public gatherings. In Uganda, there's a lot of large public gatherings, especially funerals and weddings. I mean, we're talking hundreds of people sometimes at these, and that was all stopped. And just less than a few weeks later, he closed down all public and private transportation. He closed the borders, and he closed the airport. And so how did we get out? Well, we just snuck out under the radar, and here we are. Now, the U.S. Embassy, actually, they coordinated a couple flights with the Ugandan government, and that's how we got out of Uganda. Entebbe is still closed. The airport is still closed. And I have no idea how exactly we're going to get back. And that is a prayer request, because I did leave 4 ladies on the field that work with me in Uganda. They're at SOAP in Soroti. and things are shut down, so it is quiet. It is probably the best time to leave, but I am concerned for them. You know, Uganda is stable at the moment, but being Africa, at times there can be instability issues, and so please pray for them, seriously, because as the leader there, as the only male missionary, I feel a certain responsibility for them. I had a meeting with them. I got their permission to leave them alone to attend our daughter's wedding and our son's graduation, but I still have concern for them there by themselves. So please, if you could pray for them. Let's get to our scripture, John chapter 20, verse 21. Gospel of John 20, verse 21 says, "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.'" See, I wonder what this message is going to be about. Here we are. This would have been, without this pandemic, this would have been the start of Missions Conference. And me, I guess I just happened to come at the right time, since I'm one, on the mission field. Two, this is Missions Conference time. I guess I can preach a little bit about missions, about what the Lord would have us do. Here we have in John 20, 21, as Jesus was sent, because Jesus was sent and he had a mission to do and he carried it out, obviously he returned to heaven and that mission had to go on. It had to carry on with the apostles. And here he is telling the apostles, "So send I you." A lot of you have heard my testimony. I think there's actually a lot of new people in Temple that don't know me well or don't know me at all, and they haven't heard my testimony. I'm going to share some of that about how I came to the mission field. How did I get there? Well, we came here to Temple, my wife and I, and our three little children. They were all in either kindergarten, first grade, second grade. We came here in August 1999 is when we first arrived. We came in from Chicago, and we were looking for a church with a Christian school, and we found it, and we joined, and that was 1999. Just a couple years later, Pastor asked me, "Hey, Brother Allen, how would you like to go on a missions trip?" I said, "A missions trip? Oh, it sounds pretty cool, fun." We had come from Massachusetts before Chicago, and we were in a good church. It was an independent, fundamental Baptist church, but maybe not real strong on missions. We had never had a missions conference, no missions trips, not a whole lot about faith promise giving. So I was very intrigued. Oh, a missions trip sounds good. So we went to Bolivia. That was 2001, my first trip. And my eyes were opened on that very first trip about what goes on in the life of a missionary. What goes on daily, you know, day in and day out when we were there, about the life that he leads, you know, pastoring a church, getting out the gospel in his town. And it was my first trip, but I was sort of hooked. I said, "Oh, I'm going to go on these trips." I'm a physician assistant. I'm a PA. And I guess I was sort of also brought in as the sole medical provider. So if somebody got something in their eye or cut their finger off, I could just sew it right back on. Pastor's got a great story about that. And Phil Flack, that he's probably told once or twice. But so I was the medical guy on the trip, but I was intrigued about the mission field. I won't say I was led or called at that time, but I really liked participating and seeing what was going on. Long story is, so I'd started going on trips every year after that. And that's when the Lord started working on my heart about what I could be doing and also what I should be doing as a believer. Now, before you tar and feather me for heresy, I do believe in individual calls to the mission field, but let's be very clear. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 28. We'll just look at that, and Mark 16. For me, the call went out over 10,000 years ago. Amen? To what? "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's Mark 16, Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That was over 2,000 years ago, given by Christ to his apostles before he went to heaven. The call has already gone out to what? To go. Not to stay, but to go. Now, I still believe in individual calls, and I'll get a little bit more into my testimony, but we have to understand the call went out. And there are millions and millions of believers all around the world in churches just like this one, you know, serving the Lord, there's many ministries in the church, but I'm just wondering if there's still, has Jesus come back yet? Not yet. 1 Thessalonians 4 is very clear. The Lord's going to come and take his church out. Hasn't happened yet, as far as I know. Why not? Why has the Lord not come back for his church? Possibly because there's still work to do. There's still souls to reach. And here we are in 2020, again, over 2,000 years later, after Jesus said to go, and there's still souls to reach. And so here we are tonight. So the result of all these missions trips, the Lord really started working in my heart. And in 2008, if some of you remember, my wife, my family, we all came down. It was a missions conference. Dr. Sisk was preaching, and I told Pastor before the conference, Pastor, I think the Lord's calling us to the field, and I'm going to surrender, and I'm going to go to the mission field. And he had us come down and sort of make a formal announcement. And there we were, off to the, you know, deputation, and off to the mission field we went. Am I promoting myself as some, super duper spiritual Christian? Oh, I'm going to the field and going to do my part. Please, you should. If you want to know the spirituality of a pastor, a missionary, or evangelist, just ask their wives, and they will tell you exactly how spiritual they are. So I am no different than anyone else. I'm just simply one that saw or that had a burden for souls on the field through these missions trips, through missions conference preaching, through pastors preaching, that I should be maybe doing something other than what I was doing. What was I doing? Orthopedic surgery. Very fun, very cool. The greatest type of surgery you ever could see or want to do. I'll talk about a little bit more about that later. But I was just like anyone else. I was here. Here we are, Northern Virginia. I was working. My wife was working. Three children in private Christian school. Two cars in the garage. And a mortgage, chained to my leg, a big ball and chain mortgage, the American dream. And, we were living it just like anyone else. But it was through these trips and the preaching that the Lord started working on my heart, and off we went to Uganda. That was 2011. So, Uganda. What is going on in Uganda? This is in Soroti, way before I got there. It was probably the early 2000s. A man named Dr. Guyman was there in Uganda. He came up from Kampala, the capital, was given a piece of property and started the Soroti Orphan Assistance Project. A lot of orphans at that time through rebel fighting in the area and disease. And the first group of orphans, I think in 2004, were brought in. And so started SOAP. And my brother Jeremy was there for many years and headed up that project. Children are always, no matter what country we're from, on this earth that we're on, children are the future. Always, children are the future, and the people, the children of Africa are no different. The goal of SOAP is to reach the children, not just educate them in the ABCs, but to get them spiritually grounded, see them saved, and they themselves can go out and make a difference for Christ with the people of Africa in Uganda, to be shining lights, because that's where it's going to begin. Not that adults don't get saved. I'll tell you, in Uganda, culturally, a typical Ugandan has a very hard time saying no. It's just their culture. They don't want to say no. If you ask, suggest something or ask something, they will most likely say yes. Would you like to be saved? Yes. Would you like to do this? Yes. Will you be there tomorrow morning? Yes. They just don't want to say no. And it makes it difficult. So the adults, not the adults are not reachable, but it can be difficult. A missionary, and we're so happy that the Gardeners, Matthew and Savannah, are going to come out and join us. That's a great blessing. You don't know how great a blessing that is, I'll tell you. You could definitely use some help on the field. But as a new missionary, it takes a little while to get used to the Ugandan culture. Culturally, again, they don't want to say no. If a relative comes up and asks for money, they are almost obligated to give money to a friend or relative because that's their culture. And I say all this because it's the same thing with salvation. With salvation, they will tell you what you want to hear. And that takes a little while to kind of tease out and discern, you know, who's making a genuine profession of faith and who is not. So I'll tell you, I can preach to 200 or 300 people, and I could ask for hands, who wants to be saved? And I'll get dozens and dozens of hands. But again, culturally, they'll feel like they want to do that. So it's a little bit of a challenge there in Uganda. But I definitely have it easier than you all do here. Because before I went to the field, when I was here, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. When we go knocking on doors, either one, the door isn't even answered. There's people inside, but they don't come to the door. If they come to the door, it's so brief, you can't even get a gospel presentation out. Sometimes a tract. It's just very different here in the States compared to Uganda. Where in Uganda, I can walk up anywhere. I can walk up to somebody's business, somebody's home, anywhere, because visitors are a big deal. I joke about this with the children. I've made a joke, and I'll tell them, whenever there's a visitor, everything stops. And they get a kick out of me saying that because I say it very emphatically. Everything stops because literally it's true. If you walk into a village, people will stop what they're doing. They'll wash their hands and they will come up and greet you. And I'll have always a captive audience in a village home where there's people. They will sit down and they will listen to whatever I have to say. And that's a great blessing in sharing the gospel with people, to sort of have that captive audience. It doesn't mean everyone gets saved. And even at that time, many will still not want to say no. I'll spend 45 minutes to an hour either with one person or maybe a few people in that family going over a detailed description of the gospel. And at the end, I'll say, would you like to accept Christ? Would you like to make a profession of faith, invite Christ into your life and be saved? And here's the responses I get. Well, if it's a woman, I think I need to ask my husband first. Okay, you need to ask the husband first. If it's a man, or maybe next time. You come back next time and we can talk. And it's always an excuse, but it will never be no. It will never be no in their culture. And again, a little bit of a challenge. But at least I can share the gospel. The culture allows me to go, and they will sit and they will listen. And that's a great blessing. And we've seen many people saved because of that, because they will at least listen. But I'm here tonight because I want to share missions. My testimony with salvation, I was in the Navy. I graduated from high school in 1979. A few months later, I enlisted in the Navy, found myself on an aircraft carrier out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. I was working in avionics, aviation electronics. And I was in a workshop with 25 guys. One of those shipmates took the time to sit me down and share the gospel with me. And that day in July 81, on that carrier, I did not get saved. I'm sure many people, they've heard the gospel, when they hear the gospel the first time, they probably don't get saved. Maybe some do the first time, but many don't, and I was the same. I kind of thought, I said, well, okay, you know, you're happy with Jesus. Jesus is, you know, I'm very happy for you. And it didn't seem to do anything to me. Very long story to make it short. I came under great conviction a few years later. I was still in the Navy. I was in the Philippines. I got so convicted, I bought a Bible. I began reading the scriptures, searching for the truth. The Lord opened my eyes. You know, the scales fell from my eyes, and I knew I was lost. I needed a Savior. Jesus was the Savior, and I made him my Savior and Lord that night. And that was February 1986. All because why? Because a young man, a shipmate on that carrier, cared enough to share the gospel with me. And that's how I came here to Temple Baptist Church. And that's how I ended up in Uganda, because someone took the time to allow himself to be sent. Now, you might say, well, you mean he was sent from his hometown to the Navy? Let's look at Mark. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark. Where are we? Where's my notes? There we go. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14. Because remember, our text is Jesus was sent. So what was he sent to do? Let's see a few verses here before my time runs out. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says, "Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Jesus was sent to do what? To preach. You know, Jesus was a preacher. We don't think of him, I won't say a missionary, but of course he was sent, but he went to preach the gospel. Another verse, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 4:23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Jesus was sent to preach. He was sent to heal, proclaim the kingdom of God. And just what our text is saying in John, so he was sent to do this. He is now also sending us. So how about us tonight? What have we been doing? Have we been going? And the gospel says go, both in Matthew and Mark, the command is, Brother Brandon was leading the song, "Jesus Saves." I wrote it down, that verse, "Jesus Saves." Onward tis our Lord's command. The scripture that says go is not a suggestion. It's not something that we might think about and just see if we want to do that. The command is clear. Now, I'm not saying the songbook is scripture, but it's obviously referring to the scriptures. We are to go. Now, does that mean we have to go halfway around the world to Africa, to Asia, Australia? No, we don't have to go around the world, but maybe we can go across the street to our neighbor, go to our coworker, a relative, whoever it might be, but we are to go. And it's very clear. Now, Jesus, of course, is our greatest example. So as he went and reached people, we are to do the same. And you might say, oh, but Brother Alan, I'm just, I think I just need to wait for the call. If the Lord called me to the field, then I would go. Really? I've heard that before. I won't mention any names, like that person over there. I'm just kidding. I've heard this before from people. If the Lord calls me, I'll go. Again, Matthew 28, Mark 16, the command has been given. The command has been given over 2,000 years ago to go. Well, yeah, but I need to be trained. I need to be equipped. I'm just not confident. I'm not a competent speaker. Blah 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 blah. Please give me a break. Look at me. Look at me. I'm the number one example. Unrefined, unpolished, a pneumocephalic, knuckle scraping Neanderthal like me can share the gospel than anyone can share the gospel. True story. Pastor invited me again. This time we went to Brazil. Brother Sean Lundy down there in Brazil. That was 2007 we went, I think February. And before we went, Pastor said, "Hey, Brother Allen, how would you like to preach for us on a Sunday night?" I said, "Preach?" My knees started knocking and shaking. "Preach? What? First you want to make me a Joshua Club leader, and now you want me to preach? I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm not trained. I'm not ready. I'm not gifted." But I said, "Okay." I don't know what I was thinking. But somehow I scratched out some gospel sermon. And on Super Bowl Sunday, 2007, in the middle of the Amazon, way up the river, in this little teeny church, I'll tell you, I was sweating bullets, and that wasn't because of the Amazon heat. It's because I was having severe tachycardia in my chest. And somehow I got the gospel out in that little church, and then Brother Lundy gave the invitation in Portuguese. I sat down on the front row in that little church as Brother Sean gave the invitation, and I'll admit I was peeking at the front row. I said, "Oh, Lord, please let someone come down and get saved." It's my first sermon. Somehow I struggled through it. I don't know how I did, but Lord, please, if you could work. And I kept peeking. Nobody. Not one person. "Oh, Lord, please, just please, I'll do anything." No one came forward. So, you know, we had the invitation. It finished up. And then someone came to me and said, "Hey, praise the Lord, brother, for those souls saved." I said, "What are you talking about? What soul saved? There was nobody that came forward." "Yeah, four people got saved." I said, "What?" Evidently in this church in Brazil, in the Amazon, when people stand up to come forward, they don't come forward, they go to the back. They were in the back and people were dealing with them, leading them to the Lord. You know, and of course I didn't see it all. I was in the front, all because of this unrefined, unpolished, knuckle scraping Neanderthalic PA from Virginia managed to what? Somehow get the gospel out to the people, and the Lord worked. Let me try to encourage you. There's a lot of guys who can preach so much better than me. And in fact, it's just about everybody who can preach better than me. But let me tell you, if we can share the gospel with people, whether it's one-on-one or 1 on 100, you just need to get the gospel out. What's Romans 10:17? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If we can get the word of God out, who takes it from there? The Lord. The Lord, the Holy Spirit takes it from there. The Holy Spirit is going to convict and convince men of their sins and bring them to Him. You just have to get the words out, whether it's refined or not, or polished or not, and get the gospel out. So be careful about excuses. "Oh, I'm not a good preacher." Remember Moses said that. "Oh, Lord, I'm not such a great speaker." You know, the Lord wasn't exactly thrilled with Moses' lack of enthusiasm. But, he sent Aaron, so that was okay. But be careful about thinking you're not confident enough or not competent enough or not, maybe not called to preach. And maybe you're not called to preach, but if we can be willing to go, that's really what the Lord wants. There's two things the Lord wants, I found. Number one, obedience, and number two, faithfulness. And we're talking about believers now. Obedience and faithfulness. Obedience to go, and then faithfulness to stay and get the job done. All right. Let me finish up with this story. I told you I'm a PA. Before that, back to Uganda. So what are we doing in Uganda? One of my major goals in Uganda is get our church, Independent Baptist Church, which is on the Soap property, turned over to a national pastor. Jeremy knows Brother Paul, Okurut Paul, and his wife Rachel. They are the most faithful couple that I have there in church. And they've told me many times that they feel led and called to serve the Lord there at SOAP, at Independent Baptist Church. And Paul is one of the sharpest guys that I have under my in church there. And I intend fully, I've been working on him, I've been teaching him, helping him with preaching, with leadership issues. He's taking a doctrines course online as we speak. He's working on his doctrinal statement, and I hope later this year to have him ordained and put in as the pastor at Independent Baptist Church. I say all that because one of the missionary's goals on the field, no matter what country, is to work himself out of a job. I shouldn't be the pastor there all the time. I would love him to take over so I can get out and start working on other church plant areas outside Soroti. So that's another prayer request, if you could pray for Brother Paul, that he would, confidence is a little bit of an issue. Jealousy is a big deal over there in Uganda. When someone else gets the promotion, no matter what it is, jealousy and bad feelings can be stirred up, and that does bother him. He has to work on that and not worry so much about those things. If you could please pray for him. And so that's probably one of the big goals I have in Uganda. Other ones are strengthening up the existing church plants that we have, and they were started by Brother Jeremy and other missionaries there. Many church plants that need some maybe some bolstering and strengthening, and I'd like to get some more time to do that. If you could also pray for that. But to have Brother Paul take over. Right now, Paul preaches the evening services on Sunday. I preach in the morning, and he's getting better and better all the time, the more he preaches. And I would just love to have him take over as national pastor. Because remember, we are to teach faithful men who will then teach others also. And I got to make sure I do that because, you know, as missionaries say, we're not going to be there forever. You know, we either die, retire, or get kicked out, possibly, and someone has to be there to take over. So we need to be constantly training people to possibly take over in the future. And that person to take over is Brother Paul. So I'm going to leave you with one thought. So, as a PA, I worked at Suburban Hospital in Bethesda, Maryland for almost 12 years. Orthopedic surgery, very fun, very cool. It beats out any other surgery there is. I tell you, we work with instruments and tools that pastor would be so envious of. We got these saws, these sagittal saws that have teeth that cut this way. And I tell you, when you get a sharp saw and you go through the bone, it's like a hot knife through butter. I'm telling you, it just goes right through the bone. And we're doing a hip replacement or a knee replacement, and the bone chips are flying, and it's just great. But we cannot do that surgery unless we have the proper instruments. When the scrub tech sets up a table, maybe you've seen it in pictures, you know, there's hundreds of instruments on the table for that surgery, no matter what it is. And there's some great tools. I won't go through them all. They're instruments that are required to get the job done. As believers, we are instruments of God. We are instruments in His hand. But the job won't get done if the instrument isn't used. So my challenge tonight for everyone here, everyone listening, are we willing to be used? Are we willing to be used as God's instruments to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world? That's the challenge tonight. Again, you don't have to be a polished preacher or some high, you know, highfalutin spiritual type of person. You just need to obey the call or the command to go and be willing to go. I'm going to ask the pianist to get to the piano as we get ready for invitation time. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'd like to, again, make us aware of the command. The command has been given for us to go. Here we are over 2,000 years later. The Lord has not returned. I think there's still more work to do. So where you are tonight, how about you tonight? Wherever you are, the command has been given. Would you go? If you felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, would you go? Obedience and faithfulness. That's what the Lord wants. May the Lord work mightily in our lives, and all the praise and glory go to Him. Pastor.
Father, as the pianist begins to play in just a moment, I pray that you would cause us to see that you will use any one of us that is willing to be obedient, Lord, and is willing to be faithful. And Father, there are people all around us. Brother Allen's point and your point is that we can go right here in Herndon. We can go when we're at our job. We can be a testimony, a bright testimony, faithfully, and we can make an eternal difference. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. In your precious name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist plays. Maybe the Lord's put someone on your heart at work, someone in your family you need to pray for. Maybe that's the first step. You begin to pray for them. I had a man this week came to me and said, Pastor, could you show me how to tell somebody about Christ? Could you give me the verses? So I'm looking forward to meeting him Sunday morning and having all the verses laid out. 6 or 8 verses. And then you can just tell your testimony using those scriptures and lead people to Christ. That's all I did this morning. And Philip trusted Christ as Savior. Tonight, are you willing to be used? Are you willing to go? This is Missions Conference Week, or would have been. God is looking for people that are willing to give their lives to go. And maybe that's you. And you can go wherever you work just by faithfulness. Share the gospel. Maybe you go to your neighbor you've just been talking to about things. Sports and all kinds of things. Politics. And then all of a sudden, you can bring up Jesus. We're going to have a word of prayer. And we're going to ask the Lord's blessing on those that we have brought prayer requests up about. And then I'd ask you, we're going to have about 5 minutes before 8:15. I'd like to ask you to just take a few moments where you are, in your living room, wherever you're seated, in your den, your basement. And would you take a little bit of time? And you're here tonight, would you pray? Pray for Brother Bruce McGray and his family. I pray you'd pray for these that are struggling, or this one missionary to Fiji. Pray for them, their family, in hospice care. Pray for Monica Santos's husband, that the Lord would strengthen him and make a full recovery from the stroke. He's in ICU tonight. And then pray for us to get the gospel out. Pray for our faith promise, that people would be faithful. Missionaries like Brother Allen couldn't stay in Uganda without our faithfulness. He brought it up tonight, obedience and faithfulness. The two most important things to God about his children. Tonight, are you obedient in the way you live? Are you obedient? And are you faithful? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. I pray you'd hear our prayers. I ask that you'd bless those that were mentioned tonight. I thank you for sparing Ms. Osborne's brother and restoring him to good health. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this missionary in Fiji. And I pray that you'd bless Brother Bruce. Lord, I pray that you'd bless Brother Santos. Lord, I pray that you'd meet their needs tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless those that are unsaved tonight. I pray that you'd bless Philip, that you'd bring him back to church Sunday, and that he'd rejoice in being saved. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. May the Lord bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.